Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hail and well met, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Evident. This is going to be kind of a little bit different from what we've normally done in the past. We would like to address something that's been happening in our country right now. It's a very current event. At the time of recording this, it has been going on for over a week. LA has been completely on fire with protests, with anger, with fear, and I wanted to bring on somebody who I know can speak to this issue from a heart for Christ and with a thoughtful and careful mindset of how to respect what's been happening, but also to speak truth to it. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on to the Self-Evident podcast. Would you like to give a brief introduction of who you are and how you're qualified to speak to this?
Hi, Jenna. My name is Anthony. I am a LA resident, born and raised. Yeah, I mean, I just want to start off by thanking you for the opportunity to do this podcast. One of the reasons I chose to do this is because I'm trying to set myself up as an example for the community at large of how these events need to be handled. I do work down the street, probably two blocks away from the federal building that's constantly on the news. I've driven by it. I've been stuck in traffic because of protest. I've seen the National Guard. It's something that I have to deal with on a daily basis on my commute to work.
Yeah, it's affecting your everyday life. So how does it actually look from the ground?
It's bad. The sections, the parts of LA that were hit were pretty bad. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to excuse it. I've seen it myself. I took a drive down on my way to work on Tuesday, and I got to see the aftermath of it. A majority of the violence broke out over the weekend. I believe it was mainly on Sunday, to the point where my work was affected, where we were asked to stay home on Monday as a result. So driving back into work on Tuesday is when I got to see the aftermath of a lot of the damage that was done, and it was painful to see. I think there's a difference when you see it on social media, but seeing it with your own eyes, it's sad.
It's very, very different from someone who I personally live thousands of miles away from LA. I only see what my algorithm allows me to see on social media and what the media is presenting. So as far as I can tell, it sounds like everything is on fire. It sounds like everything is just burning down. It sounds like everybody's mad.
And to your point, I think that's what's very important to LA. It's a very big city. Even though there is a lot of damage as a result of the riots, not the entire city is on fire. I think that's just as a result of our city being so big. A majority of the violence is really being concentrated in a very small section of the city, which is primarily where the federal building is and where city hall is. That's not excusing it, but that's just what I'm seeing. And the reason why I'm saying it is because I'm not trying to spin it how our local authorities have been trying to spin it by saying mostly peaceful. And I think that's just not really true. I understand that because of the city being as big as it is, I understand that the majority of the city is not on fire, but the sections that are on fire are truly on fire.
The places where the people are actually protesting. In your perspective of this, why are these people protesting and why are they doing so in such violent outbursts?
That's the difficult part, to be quite honest. I'm not trying to make excuses for it. I think I made that very clear in my statements on social media. And that's the part that really breaks my heart, is seeing parts of our community give into the chaos. I've gotten an opportunity to have a lot of conversations on the ground, and no one can seem to really agree where the violence is originating, where the chaos is originating. There's different theories out there. It's hard to really pinpoint really where it's coming from. I will say this, though. Part of the community is responsible for what's going on. I think oftentimes the mistake that is made is that, and I can see it. I can see why people would think this. They see people on the freeway, on the streets, protesting, waving the Mexican flag, and you see people rioting, right? And I think it's very easy to make the conclusion that it's the protesters that are doing the rioting.
Okay.
Some protesters are, and for them, I really truly have no excuse for them. That's just the honest truth. Some people are rioting. It gets complicated because no one really knows where the riots are coming from.
Can I real quickly say something to that?
Yes.
Because there have been reports now, especially from Trump administration, that they've been finding people on social media who are saying, I've brought 500 bricks to this protest. I'm passing them out. I've brought X amount of masks. Please come to me so you can protect your identities. There are organizations behind this that are politicizing it. But I think what you're trying to say is it didn't initially start that way.
Correct. And that's kind of what I meant, that, you know, some people in the community are encouraging this kind of action.
Yeah. They're taking advantage of a crisis.
Correct. And some people just want to cause chaos just for the sake of causing chaos.
Right.
They really don't care what the cause is. It's just
as long as they can
an opportunity.
It.
What I'm really trying to play kind of like a balancing act is, yes, there are some organizations that are funding this. No one, at least not to my knowledge, we don't know who it is. The debate then gets political. But we do know that there are outsiders just trying to protest. People within the Latino community that are doing the same. I don't know if that clarifies your question.
It does. But looking at this whole entire picture, Christians on social media who are not on the streets, like for example, myself, I heard your perspective. And for the record, everybody, I've known Anthony maybe, I don't know, a couple years through my brother. And then I got to meet you last summer, being able to talk with you and see how, as a whole, like I've really respected your opinion. I've really looked up to you as a fellow Christian brother. Hearing your perspective on how we can pray for LA, because that's what my question was to you when you had posted about this. You had on your personal social media, you had said, I'm heartbroken that this is happening and I need my fellow Christians, please pray for LA. That's when my curiosity was piqued, because all the time people are, well, yes, we need prayer. Well, how? How can we pray for you? Now my question to you is, how do Christians respond to that? Because I'm looking at all this violence, and I know that there's two political talking points that are happening right now. As a Christian, how am I supposed to respond to this?
The way that I come in about it, what really drove me to make the statement that I made on my social media, a lot of it is I'm also coming in from a personal perspective. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misinformation. Most of it, I would argue, is political. It's really just driving a divide in between the community. With that said, what really got me to pause for a moment, because I also came at it. I was, as a Mexican-American, I'm looking at what's going on my social medias as well. And I'm angry. I'm honestly angry because I'm somebody who wants to fight for immigration reform. But I see the actions that are happening on our streets and it makes me think to myself, what a bad way to represent us. It really, any effort that the community wants to take moving forward is completely undermined by the actions of a few. So that's where my anger came at. What really got me to pause was seeing the way that a lot of, and I can only speak for my account, having a lot of friends that are very dear and close to me, seeing the way that they were being affected by this situation, right? I see a friend and I visibly see him crying. And I'm over here thinking to myself, why are you crying? You have nothing to fear. And by that, I mean, you're the one choosing to buy into the lies that are being fed to you by the media. Why are you so afraid? Nothing's going to happen to you. I then realized that was the wrong approach. If we would have been having this conversation a few years ago, I would have been coming at it from a different perspective. I honestly probably wouldn't even be having this conversation with you. So I can relate, is what I'm trying to say. I can relate where a majority of them are coming from.
And by them, you mean the people who are on the side of we should not be deporting, we should not be bringing in the National Guard to deal with these protesters?
Right. Why I personally was in that situation a few years ago is you really do buy all the lies that are being sold to you. You feel like you have a target on your back. You have a certain perspective of the world. So when you hear this on the news, you can't help yourself but to be afraid. I think it's also understanding the narrative that is being told to a majority of the Latino community is the narrative is, if you're brown, you're going to get picked up. Doesn't matter if you're a citizen. Doesn't matter if you're a resident. Doesn't matter if you're doing everything by the book.
Wow.
You're going to get picked up because you are hated by the color of your skin.
Wow.
And I hope you can understand why so many people are so angry and afraid. This is the narrative that people are believing. It doesn't help when you see all the local news stations report with this narrative. There's too much trust in our media. So if they tell you, hey, you're brown, they're going to pick you up. So I hope that brings some clarity to what's really going on.
That people are actually terrified for their lives. It doesn't matter if they're here legally or not, they fully believe that if they have a different color skin, that this is it for them. They're not going to remain here. And that actually brings a lot of clarity to, we're recording this on the 13th, and tomorrow, June 14th, is supposed to be a huge national protest day for the organization called No Kings. And we're going to be covering this as self-evident a little bit later in the week, next week, actually, because this week is almost over. But what No Kings was saying on their website, I was trying to go through the reasons for why they are gathering, why they are marching outside of we just hate this administration. What I could find were five reasons. And one of the reasons among them was that they are claiming that Americans are being deported and that citizens and people are disappearing off the streets. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't think of one single American citizen that has been wrongfully deported from this country since this administration took place in January of 2025. What are they talking about? And so hearing your narrative of this is what people are being told, no matter what your legal status is here in America, like if you have a different color skin tone, chances of you being out of here as soon as the National Guard find you or the ICE finds you, that makes now so much more sense with the narrative that specifically No Kings is pushing, that they're marching because Americans are disappearing. How deceitful. And one of the things that is very interesting to me is what you were saying, a lot of people fully trust what they are being told. They don't think, maybe I should do my own research on this. What actually does this mean? What actually are these people telling me? Instead of doing so, they decide to turn around and make sure everybody knows, okay, like I've got to protest this. It doesn't matter now. And that actually can justify a lot of the protesters being like, well, if I'm not welcome in this country, guess what? I'm going to ruin this country. As Christians, we're all looking at this and we're seeing just the whole jumble of, okay, what can I do as a Christian when people are coming up to me and they're talking to me about this narrative that's happening in LA? Hey, people are protesting because they're scared for their lives. How can I as a Christian respond to that?
The way that I'm responding is understanding where all the anger is coming from, all the pain is coming from. If you like, and that's the kind of the point I was trying to make earlier. A few years ago, I thought the same thing. I really did. I shared the same opinions. I recall the process it took to get me to get here, and that wasn't done through hostility, more anger, but people that really took the time to, first of all, to meet me halfway, understand where my pain, where my anger was coming from, and really take the time to have a conversation, to really understand where I was coming from. I take the same approach to this, and I'm just gonna give you the example that kind of made me change my approach.
Yes.
I'm going to try to protect my friends.
I should have asked you about your story even beforehand, but I didn't realize that you were of the same opinion. So how did you transition?
Well, I don't know my language. Okay.
Whoops. Let me rephrase that. What made you change your mind?
That's a very good question.
Was it people that were telling you like, hey, this is wrong? Or was it people who were genuinely asking you, how can you justify this worldview? How can you make sense of this worldview? So what sort of questions did jog you and like, wait a second, am I looking at this in the wrong perspective?
I can't really recall the specific questions that they were asking, but I could say that they were really, really questioning my logic. They would hear the arguments that I'm making, and they would honestly really just say, does that really make sense to you? Are you understanding your logic behind that is misinformed? I do want to add, a lot of us are raised with this worldview. That was certainly my case.
And for clarification, who do you mean by us?
I would say a majority of the Hispanic community, the Latino community, not just Mexican-Americans, but Salvadorian-Americans, Guatemalan-Americans, South Americans. A majority of us are raised to believe that because of our skin color, we are not like. So that shapes your worldview in a way that makes you, and I'm going to be quite honest, hate this country. I didn't realize that I hated this country until my friends who were having these conversations with me made me realize that at some point the connection in my head was made. You know what? They're right. Sometimes you just don't want to accept it. If it comes to the point where it becomes so overwhelming that you have no choice but to finally realize that, no, yeah, you know what? I'm wrong. And a lot of the times that's hard to admit.
Absolutely. Because people can lead you to the truth, but you're going to have to be the one to actually grapple with it and accept it for what it is. As you're considering this and as you're thinking, wow, okay, they're right. I hate this country. How did you come about to turning your worldview around? How did that look?
Ironically, I'm going to connect it to, because this is really how it started, was pandemic year 2020 in the midst of lockdowns. It was around that time that I started really questioning what I believe really through. Suddenly, nothing seemed to be the way it was portrayed. And by that, I mean, are the news outlets really telling the truth? Because I think this is true for most Americans. We grew up trusting these news outlets. And it was around the pandemic year where I really started questioning, as if we are they really being upfront and honest about everything? And for me, the answer was no. That's what really started it. I started questioning everything. Suddenly, everything was anything that I believed even real to begin with? Have we just
Right.
been believing a lie?
How can I reach someone who is where you were a few years ago?
I'm going to take it as an approach to how I'm currently trying to evangelize to one of my closest friends.
Yes.
I grew up with him. This is a friend that I love. He's a brother to me. I've known him since probably I was 12 years old. So he's a dear brother to me. And at some point, I should add, we grew up going to church together. That's no longer the case. This one friend took his own path, and I've been trying to reach him ever since. And at some point, I took the method of really trying to thump his head with the bike. At some point, I realized that I was really just pushing him away further. I was adding on to his hatred, and it drove a wider wedge between us. I thought to myself, I was like, if I really want to reach him, is this really the right method? What if I just, rather than thumping him on the head with the Bible, how about I just be a good friend, be a good brother, lead by example? He knows that I'm Christian. He knows my belief. He makes it very clear that he doesn't agree with them, but there's a mutual respect there. There's never a day that goes by that I haven't given up hope. By that, I say this is something that I see a lot in the Christian circle. I feel like sometimes we don't get what we want. In this case, I've tried telling you the truth. I've tried thumping you on the head with the Bible, and you're clearly not getting it. So I'm just going to stop. In this situation, we stopped being friends for 2 years. And to this day, he tells me that those 2 years were some of his darkest years, and I wasn't around. I don't want to make that mistake again where, clearly you're not getting it. So I'm just going to give up on you. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of Christians make. And that's kind of the connection I want to make with how we're approaching people. You and I, we know the truth. That's why we're able to have these kind of conversations. When you're talking with somebody who is misinformed, I would argue that you need to see it from the same perspective. If you keep hitting them on the head with the truth, it's only going to make them angrier. That's really the approach I'm trying to take with this is, obviously we have truth. I mean, I think oftentimes we want to speak truth. We don't want to do the love part because we disagree with each other.
That is why Self-Evident was started, because we saw so many conversations taking place around us that we knew it could transform lives if only it was done in love, if only it was come at without the perspective of, I can win this argument. We're taking it from Ephesians 4:15, where Paul says we need to speak the truth in love. And what you're saying, your neighbor as yourself, you need to be that faithful witness to them. You need to be that faithful friend. I recently just published this episode on Self-Evident where we were talking about how to reach women who have been inundated with lies about themselves, about their bodies, about the opposite sex through college, through their schools. And so many women now are leaning so much farther left because that's what they've been taught. I remember hearing the story, and a lot of Christians are familiar with the story of Rosaria Butterfield, where she was living that lie. She was a lesbian, she was a professor. She hated Christians with all of her heart, but a pastor and his family never gave up on her. They invited her to dinner. They loved her. They answered every question, no matter how hostilely she put it towards them. They just were there for her and loved her. Through their witness and through them speaking truth in love and then actually demonstrating what it means to be a Christian to her, they were able to love her to the truth. And now she is a full believing Christian. She is married to the pastor of this wonderful church. She has so many beautiful children. And it's because someone was willing, like you were saying, to take the time just to love her and just to be there for her. This is the same example. And this is such a volatile topic. There's so much hatred and divisiveness around this. People do not want to hear that there is a balance between justice and opening arms for everybody. When we're approaching this subject with just family, friends, with people from the other side, we don't have to get angry. Yes, it's okay to be angry, but we're not supposed to sin. We're supposed to approach this with Christ's love in our hearts for everyone. That's what you're saying for us. Real quickly, can we run through once more, how can Christians right now pray for Los Angeles and pray for people like you who are trying to minister to the fearful and hurting people that are in LA.
I want to take this time to pray for understanding conversation. Like I said, these conversations are often very difficult to have, especially, I'm going to be pretty honest, you know, being of Mexican descent myself. I often have to put myself in, I don't want to say dangerous situation because it's not like my life is in any danger, but I do put a target on my back. It takes a lot of courage to have these conversations. At times like these that I'm reminded that these conversations do need to be had. And I pray that more Christians have the encouragement to have these conversations, even when they are difficult. These conversations are difficult to have any day. They're even more difficult to have when we have what's going on in our city.
So how can Christians pray for Los Angeles right now?
I think we can start by praying for law enforcement, for their continued bravery and composure in the midst of the intensity, that their actions reflect truth and justice, not just authority, but moral clarity.
Yeah.
I want to pray for leaders, state and local. They receive a lot of warranted criticism, but scripture reminds us to pray for those in positions of authority, that they would lead wisely, boldly, and rightly, even under pressure. I want to pray for the people in the community who know what's happening is wrong, that they wouldn't be afraid to speak up, that fear wouldn't keep them silent, and that they would choose courage over comfort. I want to pray for the president and his administration, that they would act with integrity and discernment despite the political backlash. I want to pray for the journalists and media professionals on the front lines, those documenting the truth on the ground, for their safety, and also for the commentators and voices with large platforms, that they use discernment, that they don't feel division or fan flames of confusion, that they remember what they're witnessing doesn't define the entire community. And finally, I want to pray for the community itself. Yes, there's chaos and I don't excuse it, but behind it is real pain, real fear, and deep anger that's often overlooked. The community has been deceived, used for political gain, and we are left to carry the consequences. Amen. If anything's going to bring healing, it has to begin with the truth.
Thank you so much for coming on and giving us a little bit of a clearer perspective of what's going on and how we can respond to it with truthfully, but with love as well. I really do appreciate your perspective on this, Anthony, and thank you so much for coming on. Is there any final thoughts that you want to leave us with? Anything you'd like to say to your community, to Christians?
I did have something written. Unfortunately, I do have to read it
out. Yes, please, share it.
Lord, open our ears to truly listen and our hearts to truly understand. Help us see past the noise, the fear, and the anger, and recognize the pain behind the protest. Give us the courage to create space to make room at the table for voices that need to be heard. Let truth guide us and compassion ground us. And may your peace be the foundation beneath every conversation.
Thank you so much for coming on and spending your Friday evening with us, Anthony. I so appreciate your perspective. And I'm praying for you that you would remain safe throughout this turbulent time in your city and that you would be able to be a witness for Christ and be able to remain strong and encourage your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to also speak up and speak up in love. If ever you want to come back onto the Self-Evident Podcast, you are more than welcome to. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope until we meet again that we continue to firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. And as in Ephesians 4, where Paul states that we do need to be speaking truth in love to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. This is self-evident.